Well, first of all, Woodstock City Church, I'm so honored to be here. And on behalf of all of us at Gwinnett Church, we're just honored to partner with you and our other partnership churches around Metro Atlanta to do this, to create churches that unchurched people love to attend. And I have to tell you, the last time I was here on a Sunday morning at Woodstock City Church, you were in your previous location. This is quite the upgrade, people. I'm telling you. This is like version 3.0, all right? So this is amazing. And I've known your lead pastor, Gavin Adams, and his family for over 20 years. I just love Gavin and what God is doing through Gavin, Chantel, the team here, Jason and Mitchell and Eric. I could keep going on and on. It's just absolutely stunning and amazing. So all of us at Gwinnett Church are cheering you on. Speaking of Gwinnett Church, I hope you guys are doing well over there in Gwinnett. Look forward to being back with you next Sunday. And if this is your first time at Woodstock City or Gwinnett Church, and if you've got kids in any of our environments or students in any of our environments, we believe they're going to have a fantastic time, and we hope you have a great time as well. Now, you're joining us in the middle of a series called Pack Your Bags, How to Prepare for What's Next, because all of us are in seasons in life. And I thought Gavin did another amazing job last week talking about how do you deal with the cloudy conditions of transitions. And he talked about finding clarity. And like you, I was very relieved to see that Mitchell actually survived the smoke machine last week. So that was encouraging. And so today we're going to go into part three. And I'm excited about today because it's going to be, I think, a very practical and helpful message, particularly as you will find wherever you may be in your season of life. So that's where we're going to go for a few minutes today. Now, before that happens, or to get us there, I'd like to tell you a quick story about my family, which will lead us into where I'd like for us to go today. My wife, Wendy, speaking of transitions, my wife, Wendy, and I have been married for over 20 years. We have a freshman, Cole, he's a high school freshman, and my daughter is a high school senior. So she is a few days away from graduating from high school and a few weeks away from leaving our home. And if I keep talking about this, I'll get verklempt, so let's move on, people, okay? Now, my family, I love them very much. But recently, my father-in-law asked my son, Cole. He said, Cole, how are things going at Gwinnett Church? And Cole said, well, it's going great, Granddaddy. You know, Mom serves on guest services, and Jessie, she's a small group leader in Upstreet, and I serve in Wombaland, and Dad does nothing. You know, Dad just gets up there and says words, all right? So as a result of all that, I stopped contributing to Cole's college fund. I'm going to see how he likes that one. Now, the reason I bring this up is I can remember when Cole and Jesse weren't serving in Upstreet in Wombaland because they were actually in Upstreet in Wombaland. And as I'm getting toward this big transition in our lives, it's just amazing how fast life goes. In fact, here's how my mom says it. My mom is 89 years old. And she's seen a lot of life at 89. And I think we should listen to people that are 89 and 90 because they have a great perspective on life. My mom's hilarious. I wish you could meet her. She recently, I actually believe this about my mom. I believe that she's the only 89-year-old grandmother who's been featured on the television show TMZ. And you may not believe me, so don't do it now. I don't have time to get into this right now, okay? But just Google 89-year-old grandmother meets Tim Tebow for the first time, and you'll see how she went viral for a couple of days on social media. And I had to explain to my mom, that does not mean you have pneumonia, okay? So she's amazing. I mean, she was calling me up saying, Jeffrey, people are saying I'm on the Facebook. And I said, well, Mom, according to Justin Timberlake, it's just Facebook. Okay. So my mom's amazing. And this is what she says though, as she reflects back on life, this is what she says is the most surprising thing about life. This is her perspective at 89. The most surprising thing about life is how fast it goes. The most surprising thing about life is how fast it goes. And I don't know at what age this happens, but life seems to pick up a pace at some particular age. And it seems like there's 3 weeks between Easter and the 4th of July, and 3 weeks between the 4th of July and Christmas, and 3 weeks between Christmas and Easter. And it just goes, 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 goes. And what's happening, the reason it's so fast, is that we're going from one season to the next. And this is something that's true about you and me. It's true wherever we are today. Life is a collection of seasons. It's a collection of seasons. And you're moving from one season to the next. And one of the reasons life seems so fast is you're passing through these seasons faster than you might realize. Now, what do I mean when I say that life is a collection of seasons? Well, let me just put on the screen some seasons that you might be experiencing, okay? This is just a kind of a random collection. This isn't a complete list, but it's a pretty good list. There are parenting seasons, right? There's the infant seasons, the toddler seasons, preschool, elementary, middle school, high school. They go off to college and graduate. Then they move back home and we go through all that again, right? So there's parenting seasons. There are financial seasons, marriage seasons, right? First year of marriage, year of survival, second year of marriage, all of that. There's different ups and downs of a marriage. There's leadership seasons. A friend of mine, John Woodall, says there's seasons of a man's life and a woman's life. He talks about the purpose of each decade of our lives. And there's seasons of career, student, and friendship. I think that's true for you and me. And my hunch is that you could look up here and say that maybe one or a few are where you are. You're in a season right now. What's also true about us is every season has a stage. Every season has a starting line. Every season has a journey. And every season has a finish line. And so for some of you, you're at this stage right now. You are starting a brand new season in your life. For some of us, we're in the middle of this journey right now. You might be a few weeks, you might be a few months, you might be several years, but at some point you're gonna wind up over here because every season of life has a finish line. Every season of life has a finish line. Now, here's why I bring this up, and I think you would agree with this. When it comes to the starting line, when it comes to the journey, and when it comes to the finish line, wouldn't you agree that it's easier to start well than to finish well? Wouldn't you agree that it's easier to start well than to finish well? It's not easy to start, but it's easier to start well than to finish well. For example, wouldn't you agree that it's easier to launch a business than it is to build an enduring, thriving brand and business? Wouldn't you agree that it's easier to have a wedding day than it is to go on a journey and go through the seasons of a marriage, consistently building a thriving, enduring, passionate marriage? There's nothing wrong with starting well. It's just harder to finish well than it is to start well. And that brings me to where we're going today. Here's my bottom line. And you're going to hear me say this over and over and over again. And we're going to unpack this. Because I want us to talk about today, how can you finish well in the seasons of life? And here's why I want to talk about it. This is why this is, when it comes to packing your bags, this is why this is so important. The better you finish your current season, the better you begin your next season. The better you finish your current season, the better you begin your next season. So in this series, Pack Your Bags, we're talking about how to prepare for what's next. Well, one of the best things that you can do to prepare for what's next is to leverage what's now. And I could give you story after story, example after example of why this is true and why we've got to get our lives and our hearts and our minds about this. And here's the cool news. You don't have to believe in God. You don't have to go to church to believe in this. This is true. And let me give you an example. When I talk to couples who they're thinking about getting engaged or they're thinking about getting married, and they say, Jeff, can you give us some premarital advice? What's some things that we can do to prepare for marriage? And I'll say, absolutely. Let me give you one thing that you can do. You can finish your current season as a single person as financially healthy as you possibly can. Because if you finish your life as a single person, as financially healthy as you can, you begin your season as a married person as financially healthy as you can possibly be. And I know what happens. They look at me. I can tell what they're thinking. They're thinking, you're the most unromantic person on the planet, okay? Finances, we're just gonna live on love, right? That's what we're gonna do. I understand that. And that works. Until the bills arrive, okay? And that's why you've got to finish, as well as you possibly can, financially healthy, your single life, because if you don't, if you come into the finish line limping financially, then guess how you begin your marriage financially? So the point is this, if you want to prepare for what's next, one of the best things that you can do is finish your current season. The better you finish your current season, the better you begin your next season. So what I want to do for a few minutes today is talk about how do we do this? Because if we can figure this out, it's an incredible gift to the people in our lives, and it's also an incredible gift that you can give yourself. The first thing we got to understand is we've got to have a mindset of a finisher. What does that look like? Well, let me share with you a story that I think is a perfect example of kind of the mindset of coming over here in the seasons of life and finishing them very, very strong. To do that, I want to take you back to 1968, the Summer Olympic Games in Mexico City. There was a marathon runner named John Stephen Akari. He was from Tanzania. And on the day of the race, The heat and the humidity and the altitude made that marathon very difficult to run. Now, personally for me, every day is a difficult day to run a marathon, okay? But this particular day was very difficult. 75 runners began the Olympic marathon, only 57 finished. Halfway through the race, John Stephen Akari is running. He accidentally is bumped by another runner. He trips, badly falls down, badly injuring his shoulder and his knee, races over, he is done. Everyone else keeps going. The Olympic gold medalist finishes the race at 2 hours and 20 minutes. In comes the silver medalist, the bronze medalist, and the race, the rest of the runners. They get together, they have the Olympic ceremony, they raise the flag, they sing the national anthem. There are a few other events that are going on. They finish those, and then the crowd starts filing out. And then everybody's kind of sweeping up, and in fact, you should see the Olympic film on this. It's very, very moving. Most of the stadium is complete, three quarters empty, and then there's some commotion at the entrance to the stadium, and you see some flash bulbs start popping, and in comes this man limping into the Olympic stadium, and it's John Stephen Akari. And when he hits the track, he starts running. It's this really moving, emotional scene. And when he gets to the finish line, the medical team comes up to him and they deal with him. And then after, and when they're ready, they allow the reporters to come up to him and they ask a really good question. And the question was this: why did you keep running? I mean, it's over an hour later. Most everyone else has left the stadium. You didn't have a chance to win. And this was his mindset. And it's the mindset I want to point us to today. This is what he said: my country did not send me 5,000 miles to start the race. My country sent me 5,000 miles to finish the race. This is the mindset of a finisher. And if you and I want to prepare for what's next, we got to have this mindset. It's easier to start well. It's very difficult to finish the seasons of life well. But when you do, it sets you up for the next season and the next. So as a brief recap, let me tell you where we're going for a few minutes today. There are seasons in life. You and I are in some seasons. The seasons go fast. You need to know your current season, the current season that you're in, and then finish this season strong. All right? Seasons in life, seasons go fast. Know your current season. Finish this current season strong. Now, before we talk about how to do that, I want to come back over here and talk to some folks. And you might be saying today, you hear this, well, Jeff, you know, I didn't really start well. To be honest with you, our marriage didn't start well. The career didn't start well. The finances didn't start well. Our family didn't start well. The family dynamics didn't start well. And Jeff, I'm starting to think that since we didn't start well, then that just means more of the same. Let me just convince you of this. That's not the case. Because here's what really matters. What really matters isn't how you start. What really matters is how you finish. What really matters isn't how you start. What really matters is how you finish. It doesn't have to be the more of the same. You can't really control how you started, but you can control the journey with God's help. And with God's help, you can control how you finish. So I want to talk about how to do that. And to do that, I want to take you back 27 years ago. When I began my career, I met my first business mentor. His name was Steve Polk. And on my first day on the job, he gave me three pieces of advice. And three of the best pieces of advice I have ever, ever heard. And in fact, I kind of carry these pieces of advice in the kind of a stewardship responsibility to make sure that I try to steward this wisdom the best that I can. The first two pieces of advice, we'll come back another Sunday and talk about those. But it's the third one that I want to talk to, because what Mr. Polk was pointing me to is how to be a better finisher in life. So get this. It's my first day on the job. I'm in marketing. I'm working for him. And he calls me into his office very first day at work. And this is what he says. He says, Jeff, hey, we're glad you're here. Welcome. It's day one. But what I want you to think about isn't day one. What I want to think you to think about, I want you to think about the finish line. And see, what I believe is that you're going to move on to something else in the not too distant future. I'm going to move on to something next. And when that day comes and when you wave goodbye, I want you to look back and I want you to be able to say this, Jeff. I want you to be able to say that you could leave things better than when you found them. That when that final day is up, I want you to leave things better than when you found them. So on your final day at work, I want you to be able to say, I left the people, I left the mission, I left the business, I left the organization, I left the culture better than when I found them. But Jeff, it doesn't start on your last day. It actually starts here. And you need to have the mindset of a finisher. Leave things better than when you found them. And if you'll think like this on day one and day 71 and day 101 and then the final day, it will be a big gift to us. And Jeff, it'll be a big gift to you. And then he gave me this imagery. He said, Jeff, it's kind of like a boat going across the water, and the boat leaves a wake. I want you to consistently look back and see what kind of wake your impact is leaving here. Now, time out. High school students, college students, you're early in your career. I'm telling you, if you get this and carry it with you, it is a huge gift to you, and it is a huge gift to the people in your life. You should Snapchat this, people. I'm telling you, it's that good, all right? Leave things better than when you found them. That's the mindset of a finisher. But the question is, how do we do that? How do we do that? Well, the great things for you and me, great news for you and me, is that there is a great finisher. And this great finisher wrote most of the New Testament. His name was Paul. And he talked in this imagery a lot about racing and starting lines and finishing and all that kind of stuff. And in one book that he wrote, there are four verses. And I want to point you to these four verses. And in essence, what I want to do is teach you a process that you can go through to help leave things better than when you found them in your life. It's a really simple process. But what this process allows you and me to do, it allows us to finish our current season well. And when you finish your current season well, it allows you to begin your next season well. So let me read these four verses to you. You're going to see a couple of highlights here or there. I'm going to build this framework for you, and then I'm going to give it to you, okay? And then I'm going to have a little bit of an assignment. But here's the thing. If you'll begin to practice this in your current season, it'll help you when you finish your current season. And the better you finish your current season, the better you begin your next season. So here's the book, part of the book that Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. He says this, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly," I love this, "I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified." So here's what I wanna do now. I wanna go back through these verses and build this roadmap for you. And it's a toolbox, if you will. It's a gift from God through the Apostle Paul to us today so that we can finish better in the seasons of life. Now, before I give this to you, let me talk to the small group leaders at Woodstock City and Gwinnett Church. Here's what I would encourage you to do, small group leaders. I would encourage you to go through the exercise that I'm about to show you in your small group before you take your summer break. Now, if you're at Woodstock City or if you're at Gwinnett Church and you're not in a small group, here's what I would also encourage you. Here at Woodstock City Church, I would encourage you after we're done here to go to Next. And after you're done at Gwinnett Church, I would encourage you to go to the gallery because you'll meet our incredible groups team and they'll show you next steps to get into a group. But if you process this with a group or friends or someone else, it's gonna help you as you finish your current season. So let's build this roadmap, if you will. The first thing I wanna look at, go back through this verse, is this. Paul says, "So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air." Again, I love this. Paul's saying, I'm just not out here running randomly. I'm not out here running aimlessly. No, I have a clear direction. I have identified where I'm going. So when it comes to finishing well in your current season, the first thing you got to do is you've got to identify the season. What season are you in? Now, the reality is you're probably in a combination of seasons, but which season would you say that kind of rises to the top right now? If you don't know what season you're in, it's hard to finish that current season well. This is one of the reasons why it's so helpful to process this with your small group. So let me give you an example of how this would work. Let's say you're in your small group and you're going around the room and you're like, we're gonna start here, and everybody, I would like for everybody to just identify the season that you're in. So there's Fred, and Fred says, you know what? I think this is a financial season that I'm in. I'm feeling a lot of pressure financially. There's some debt that I've been kind of neglecting. So I think I'm in a financial season. Well, that's fantastic. As a small group leader, you're going, Fred, you've taken a huge step forward because you've identified the season. But Paul keeps pushing us here. The second step is this. Paul says, so run that you may obtain it. Run that you may obtain it. I think Paul was a type A competitive person. I think if you played the Apostle Paul in Monopoly, he would beat you. He wanted to win, baby. He wanted to win, all right? And so he's saying, I'm not out here running aimlessly. I want to run so that I may win. So you got to identify the season. But the second step is you've got to define the win. It's not helpful enough just to identify the season. You've got to define what a win looks like in this particular season. So let's go back to Fred. Fred says, hey, this is a financial season for me. So what do I do? Well, in our Financial Peace University small groups, we teach with our friends with Dave Ramsey, you need to save $1,000. That's the first thing you need to do. So Fred says, all right, this is a financial season, and I am going to save $1,000 from May to the end of summer in middle September. That's the win for me. Now, if Fred has done just those two things, it's a gigantic step forward in finishing this current financial season really, really well. He's identified the season, and he's defined the win. But we keep going. Step three is this. Step three is what I call think long. Step three is think long. And the word that Paul uses in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 is this phrase, self-control, self-control. And the reason I think self-control and think long go together is the value of self-control is you've got to say, I'm gonna stop doing this and I'm gonna start doing this with a long-term goal in mind. And to do this, you've got to think long. So let's go back to Fred. He's identified the season. He's got to save $1,000 by the end of the summer. And then to think long, what he's going to do is I'm going to make some short-term sacrifices so I can save $1,000, which means for Fred that he might not go on a summer vacation this summer. What that also means is he's probably not going to be able, or probably shouldn't, scroll through the Facebook seeing all of your vacation pictures wherever you go, right? Because he's going to think, well, they went to Panama City and got an airbrush t-shirt. I need to do that too, right? And so as Fred packs up, his small group's going to catch wind of this and stand in the driveway and say, no, Fred, you got to think long. Think about when you get to September and you've got those $1,000, but you're going to have to make some short-term sacrifices. You're going to have to demonstrate self-control. You're going to have to think long. But if you'll think long in this season, it'll help you win in this season. So what Fred has done, he's identified the season. He's defined the win. And he's thinking long. And then the final thing that Paul points us to is this word discipline. And I don't know how you feel about this word. Self-control and discipline are pretty intimidating, I'll say that. But one of the things about discipline in this context is Paul isn't talking about a parent-child discipline. He's talking about a specific kind of discipline. The specific kind of discipline is the discipline that an athlete demonstrates or exercises. For example, how often does an athlete, if they're training for the Olympic Games, and let's say the Olympic Games, you know, it's coming up, you know, this summer, if you will, how often do they train? They train once a month, once every 6 weeks, every 7 weeks? No, it's daily. It's daily discipline. And so what Paul is teaching here is if you want to finish strong, you have to finish strong daily. Daily. Finishing strong isn't just one point in time when you transition from one season to the next. You can finish strong. Actually, the best thing to do is to finish strong here. But if you didn't start well here, you can begin to finish strong here before you get there. But it happens daily. Now, to do that, I want to give you a very practical question that you can ask yourself that will remind you of how do you finish strong daily. And to do that, I'm going to give you a question that I was given from another business mentor of mine several years ago. When I used to work in the marketing department at Chick-fil-A, and I would go around and meet with different Chick-fil-A operators and help them with their business. And occasionally I would have my boss, David Salyers from Chick-fil-A. And David would occasionally ask operators, hey, what did you do today to build your business? And sometimes restaurant operators would say, hey, we got this, you know, big catering event coming up in a couple of weeks. And we did this thing last month and it was really, really cool. And David says, that's awesome. That's awesome. But let me ask you this question. What did you do today to build your business? Not last week, not last month, not next quarter. What did you do today to build your business? You see, you finish strong on a daily basis. So the question I want to give you is, what did I do today to finish strong? What did I do today to finish strong? I have a version of this question on my laptop. And every time I open this question, I see a version of this question. And it reminds me of something that the leadership author John Maxwell said. He said, we have a tendency to overestimate tomorrow. We have a tendency to over-exaggerate yesterday. And we have a tendency to underestimate today. Every single day is an opportunity for you and me to finish strong. It's not just one more point in time. And in essence, that's what Mr. Polk was pointing me to the very first day. Jeff, I want you to leave things better than when you found them. But it starts actually here and continues until you leave. And when you leave, I want you to be able to look back and say, I left things better than when I found them. And when you do this, here's what happens. The better you finish your current season, the better it sets you up to begin your next season. So here's what I want to do. Let's recap this and let me show you how this works. Here's where we are. Do you want to be a better finisher in the seasons of life? Here's how it works. This is built on from 1 Corinthians chapter 9. You identify the season, you define the win, you think long, and you finish strong daily. Identify the season, define the win, think long, finish strong. Now, let me give you a couple of examples of this. The first one's a little epic, I understand, but then I'm gonna bring it more day to day into our world. This could tell you the story of how Jesus lived. For example, identify the season. Jesus had 3 years to save the world. Pretty specific. Define the win. This is what Jesus said. I have come to seek and save those far from God. A specific win. Salvation and redemption of you and me, by the way. Think long. The scriptures teach this about Jesus. That for the joy set before him long term, Jesus endured the cross, scorning its shame in the short term. That's thinking long. And then finishing strong. I love this verse in the Bible when it says Jesus had his face intent on finishing. And the final three words he said on the cross to complete the mission that God had given him, not surprisingly, were these three words: it is finished. That's a fantastic finisher. Now, let me bring this into our practical day to day. Let me talk to those of you who are moms. Those of you who are moms, what's the season? You're in a season right now. What's the season? How would you define the win of this particular season? What are some things that you need to do in the short term that will show up long term in terms of long term value? And then how can you finish strong daily? It's true not just for moms. It's true for dads. It's true for parents. It's true for single parents. If you're a single adult, identify the season, define the win, think long, finish strong. How does that work for you? See, the reality is, whatever season you're in, wherever you are, this will work for you. Now, for those of you in business, this, by the way, this could be your staff meeting agenda for the week. And if you haven't prepared for your staff meeting, this is your agenda and it's completely free of charge. Because we've already taken up the offering, okay? So we've already taken up the offering. You could say, hey, let's get together as a team. I've just been thinking, what season are we in our business right now? What would it look like for us to define the win? What do we need to do short term that would manifest itself long-term? What do we need to start doing? What do we need to stop doing? And how can we finish strong daily? What could we do today to finish this season strong? I'm telling you, if you're a manager or business leader, this will work for you. And speaking of that, I would like to talk about, real quick, I would like to talk about when we leave a business, when you leave work. I think it's really, really helpful if you and I leave as well as we possibly can. And I know there's circumstances sometimes beyond our control and there's all kinds of dynamics. I totally understand all of that. But as it relates, I love what Paul would say in the book of Romans. He says, as far as it depends on you, try to live at peace with everyone. So if you can, try to leave when you leave organizations, leave businesses, leave and make career transitions, as far as it depends on you, leave as well as you possibly can. Take the high road. Over time, you will be grateful that you did. Let me give you an example of that. 14 years ago, my wife Wendy and I were working, as I mentioned, at Chick-fil-A, and we decided, long story short, that we were gonna leave Chick-fil-A to go help start Buckhead Church in the early days at Buckhead. This was when Buckhead Church was in a hotel ballroom meeting every other Sunday. And you have to understand from our perspective, this was in the days when we weren't sure that video church was gonna work. It was kind of this unheard of idea. So here are my two options. First option was stay with Chick-fil-A, and it looked like they were gonna make it. I think they're gonna do well, people. So there's Chick-fil-A, and then there's the video church where the pastor, he's not even there. What in the world? That's certainly not in the New Testament. This is crazy. You're gonna go do that? So it was a little risky, okay? Imagine it, me explaining this to my parents and especially my father-in-law. Okay, so this was a little interesting conversation. So here's what I did. Wendy and I felt like we were called to do this, but I also knew that I needed to leave well. So I wrote, at that time, I think there were like 70 people in the marketing department. I wrote every single one of them a handwritten note. In fact, one of them, my friend David Farmer, who received a note, is here on the front row. I wrote all of them a handwritten note, and I wrote the executive committee at Chick-fil-A a handwritten note, basically saying, thank you so much, I had a great time. I didn't say this, but I implied it. If Video Church World doesn't come back, good work. Can I come back to Chicken World, okay? Can I do that? I was kind of implied it. Love you people, you know. Here's my cell phone number, you know, check in with me. This is kind of crazy, okay? But I wanted to leave well. Now, circumstances may be different, but the point is this, leave well. Because when you get to this finish line and you take the high road, I'm telling you, at some point you're gonna look back and you're gonna say, I'm grateful that I left well. Now, the point is this, and then we'll close in just a second. Where are you? What's your season right now? I mean, that's what this series is about, preparing for what's next. But what's true about you is not just that there's a next, there's also a now. And the better you leverage now, the better you'll set yourself up for what's next. So how does that look for you? That's why I would highly encourage you to talk about this in your small group. That's why I would highly encourage you to go to Next here at Woodstock City or go to the gallery at Gwinnett Church to get connected into a group, because these kind of conversations are why we say circles are better than rows. Just don't hear this and just let it go away. Do what Andy said week one. Act on it. So what's your season? How do you define the win of that season? Think long, finish strong. Now, to close, as I mentioned, my family, we're in a season right now of finishing in a particular transition in our life as my daughter transitions to college and will be one step away from being empty nesters. That's a big, big deal. And it just went so fast. I can remember when my daughter was 6 weeks old. And so we were at the starting line, all right? And 17 years ago, we were at the starting line. She was 6 weeks old. And one particular night, I was just watching the news. And at this point, though, I was watching the news differently. I was watching it as a six-week-old father. And as I watched the news, I thought, oh, no. What have we done? We've brought this precious, beautiful, wonderful baby into a broken world that she's going to grow up in. And just so you know, I'm an overprotective dad, all right? My name is Jeff, and I'm overprotective, okay? So I'm stressed out 6 weeks in, all right? So eventually that night I go to bed and I just couldn't sleep. So I go to my office at home and I said, I'm not gonna live life like this. I'm not gonna live life out of fear and I'm just not gonna do it. So I wrote my daughter a letter at 6 weeks old. In retrospect, I was writing the letter to me because at 6 weeks old, she had not yet learned to read, okay? She was a little slow. So she had not yet learned to read at 6 weeks old. And so I wrote her a letter. But what I was doing, I was trying to, even as a dad, I was trying to live out this principle that Mr. Polk taught me before I was even married. Leave things better than when you found them, especially when you're a dad. So that letter that I wrote 17 years ago has kind of helped me think long and finish strong. And as we transition toward graduation in a few days, and I'm the commencement speaker, so pray for me. This is what helped define the journey for me. And I thought, you know what? I'm at 6 weeks. If sometime deep in the future, Jesse graduates from high school, I want this to be part of what she experienced. Dear Jesse, as you look at eyes that are barely 6 weeks old, I wonder what you see. Skepticism, violence, and fear. In many respects, that would be accurate. So I write these words to you, hoping to point to touch a moment deep in the future. May you never doubt what your dad believed. May you never doubt in a day called tomorrow. I believe in a day called tomorrow because of a morning sunrise on Calvary. I believe you and I are blessed to share one person, a wonderful mom and a beautiful wife. I believe you are one lucky girl because you have four grandparents who are already eager to spoil you. I believe in cotton candy. I believe in birthday parties. I believe in fall festivals. And I believe that you should not listen to Christmas music before Thanksgiving. I believe Christmas morning is what awaits us every morning in heaven. I believe in rainy days and a good book. I believe God captures our tears in a bottle and presents them to us in heaven as sweet-smelling perfume. I believe in Jesus. And I believe Jesus believes in you. Walk confidently toward the future he has for you, knowing he is with you and that your mom and dad are with you too. I believe the same God who created the universe is the same God who created you, and you are a wonderful idea of his. I believe in you. And whenever you read this, know that your dad loves you always and forever, no matter what. Love, Dad. Gang, I'm telling you. Those 17 years went fast. My mama is right, as most mamas always are right. The most surprising thing about life is how fast it goes. There's nothing we can do about the past, but what you can do is you can leverage the current season that you're in. So identify the season. Define the win, think long, finish strong, and you will leave things and people better than when you found them. And that's how to prepare for what's next. Father, we love you so much, and I'm just so grateful for the opportunity to be here at Woodstock, and thank you for the incredible people at Gwinnett as well. And God, wherever this lands in the different seasons of where we are right now, I just pray that you would give us the people in our lives to process how to define the win in this season. I pray for the folks here at Woodstock that are going to go to next. I pray for the people that are going to go to the gallery at Gwinnett. Help us connect them into wonderful small groups. And I pray that in this current season, we would finish this current season well, and that you would set us up to experience what you have for us next. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.